Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be the host for this program. This is a special update on the Hayley Cummings case. There is so much going on in such a short time that TJ Hart and I decided that it was time to have a little heart-to-heart on the subject. So joining me by phone is TJ Hart. TJ, how's it going?
It's going very well, and I'm going to what is known as U.S. 301 Waldo Road to Jacksonville in the back of a limousine. 301 is also known as the Avenue of Double Wides here in the great state of Florida. So I'm in the car courtesy of Nancy Grace. I'll be appearing on the program tonight on camera from a studio in Jacksonville. But today has been a very hot morning, temperature-wise in the state of Florida, and even hotter situation-wise in Satsuma, Florida.
Yeah, in fact, we've got a whole swack of things to talk about today. I think it was very fortuitous that we decided to run this program because quite a number of items broke after we'd actually decided to do it.
Yes, I think it was on the fly yesterday. You say, how does 1 o'clock your time sound? So I think it's splendid.
Right.
That was about it. That's how fast it got put together, folks.
Okay, I'm going to start with old news. Yeah, this is news that's 4 or 5 days old. The abortive search of the Mondex Pond, that does seem like an appropriate place to start.
That is, because it's going to set up everything that we talk about today.
All right. Now, have they completed their search?
Yes, they have, and they found nothing evidentiary in the case of Hayley Cummings at the L Pond at Mondex, but there are several ponds in and around the Mondex area. I will tell you that right now. But that pond has been drained. There was talk of a car that was pulled from the pond. Now, legitimately, Action News 4, did report that a car was being towed away, but it was not taken from the pond. So, folks, you're not crazy. Jen Bauer told you something very factual. Yes, the car did get towed away, but it was not from a pond. It was from a residence. And I spoke with Major Gary Bowling, Lieutenant Johnny Greenwood, and Captain Dominic Piscatello on this as well. And he said, we never pull a car out of there. What are you talking? You out of your mind? And then Captain Piscatello told me that it was that of a resident in the area. It was put on a flatbed truck. It was towed at their expense, not at the sheriff's office expense. It was theirs and had nothing to do with the investigation whatsoever. So folks who did see a car being pulled away from the area or heard of that on the news being taken from the area, yes, a car was taken, but it was not pulled from the pond. Once again, no body, no sign or trace or any hint of evidence that Annie was ever in that pond. So that means that for now, one can hope she's still alive.
The original story that was floated concerning Mondex was that the draining was to do with the drug bust, finding all of the marijuana plants. Are they still maintaining that, or was that just smoke and mirrors?
Well, there still might be some coincidence there, because that is something that they found by helicopter on Thursday, was the 100 potted marijuana plants. Now, mind you, this pond at Mondex is a party area for the kids. Not kids, but, you know, young adults, late teens, early 20s. Also, there was a grow operation there. So part of it may have been involved with that. Legitimately, they could say that without actually lying, but 99.9% of that search was for evidence of Hayley Cummings.
Okay, let's move on to something slightly more current. There's this handwritten letter by Nene that mysteriously surfaced. What can you tell us about that?
I'll be glad to. Now, I received a copy of this letter that was handwritten by one of Misty Cummings. That is Ronald's new bride, also the stepmother of young Hayley, and she was the babysitter the night the child disappeared, okay? I want to put this in perspective. Nene was the chauffeur, if you would, for this drug and sex binge that took place the weekend before the child disappeared, which involved Pravat, Amber Brooks, Greg, White Boy Page, and a few others. Okay, now that setting is there. Now, Pravat is in jail on some unrelated drug charges. She finds herself in there quite often on minor drug offenses. She is questioned, and in this letter, she explains to her boyfriend, Donnie Spells, what this questioning is all about. Now, this letter was given to Donnie Spells. Donnie Spells took it to the home of Greg White Boy Page's mother in Palatka. And it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And what was in there was very frightening to Greg's mother and to Greg and to everybody else. They didn't know what to do. Greg said, I had nothing to do with this. We'll get to that later. So Greg's mother scanned this letter to private investigator William Cobra Stobbs, Weston, Florida. And Cobra has been involved in this case early on, not necessarily from the beginning, but he also joined us on the Sunday show. He's a known factor in this case. Stobbs says, I got something for you, brother. Get to your computer right now. So I'm hauling ass to my office because I don't want that on my home computer for any reason whatsoever. I pull it off. It's, oh, my God. I am pulling this off at about 6:30, and I am reading this, trying to put together what it means. I send it off to law enforcement like a good soldier should, and I'm also running this past my legal folks with my radio stations and also with the standards and practices at CNN. So I'm sitting on this for a while because I'm thinking this is pretty important, but I'm thinking somebody could get hurt. So we wait till we crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, and then yesterday, we printed that letter. We sent it to BNN. We put it on the Sky website. Art Harris was a kind enough gentleman to also somehow get a copy of that and put it on his website. And many thanks for helping get the word out on that. Art, I always appreciate that from a friend. Now, what happened in this letter, it says, please send money. That's the header. It's dated 9-18-09. And it says, Donnie, you will not believe what is going on in here. Now, I'm doing this from memory because I'm in a car and I don't have a laptop. It says, you know that friend of yours, Joe, and it's crinkled at that point because the letter was crinkled, and it looked like Joe Psycho, like a street name. We find out it's Joe Pytko, P-Y-T-K-O. And Joseph Franklin Pytko is a guy who's had some run-ins with the law on a few other occasions with trying to swindle money, some drug charges. He also was in an armed standoff with police in 2008. Now, according to his sworn statement, and this is what she's telling Mr. Spells in the letter, they said this guy had some sworn affidavit that I, Nene Pravat, was at Chad's house, a mutual friend of Donnie's and Nene's. And at that house was Greg, Page, Misty, and the kids, Haley and Junior. And the letter goes on to say that somehow Haley got some Oxycontin, ate it, and died. And then everybody freaked. Stated that Greg put the child in a black bag and then dumped it at a pond in the Mondex. Can you believe this? Shit, I am going to slap this MF in the face if I ever see him. I was with you that night. Don't you remember? I was with you that night. And she says this a couple of times in the letter. I was with you that night, remember? So what does this say? Well, it said that the police acted on this tip, and they did mention that they received a letter of sorts from a man or from an inmate in another prison out of state. Far as I know, it could have been this guy, this Pytko fella. He is in and out of jails quite often. Now, when they went out to the pond, they drained the L pond at Mondex, found nothing. But there are still other ponds out there. So that means that they are taking it seriously. At first, I'll tell you that they said, we're not going to react to this letter. They later changed their mind after I released it. They changed it just before the Nancy Grace show They changed their mind completely on it. And we've been acting on this for quite some time. Ironically, after I popped this letter off the night before, wasn't last night, it was the night before, to the law enforcement officials in Putnam County, 2.5 hours after that, Greg, white boy Greg Page, was stopped by Palatka PD for not wearing a safety belt. Then rung up on drug charges. His girlfriend was riding dirty. She had some cocaine, but suddenly it kind of belonged to him. And suddenly she didn't know who this man was. He was just giving her a ride. Yeah, that's a ticket. And then there was some marijuana that fell out of the car from his passenger in the back. The guy was clean, but everybody else had dope on him, and he's the guy who got thrown to the ground. When he was brought into the station house, he was questioned by a person from FDLE on the telephone. What do you know about Haley Cummings? Says, I don't know nothing about that girl. I don't know anything about her. Shook up, very shook up. He was released. He only spent 46 minutes there. I was supposed to meet with him last night after the Nancy Grace show, and we were not able to make that meeting at about 11 o'clock at Palatka. But all the same, that was a result of that letter. To one could ascertain, was a link to that letter being very valid as well. So that letter has generated a lot of curiosity. It has generated a lot of interest and a lot of heat. Virtually every news organization in the state of Florida has picked up that letter. I was kind enough, after we put it out on the BNN site, the Blogger News Network, also on the sky973.com, Art was kind enough to get it out. I sent copies of this to WESH 2, to Central Florida 13, and to several other major news outlets in the northeastern part of the state, and they have been running with it all day so far.
Okay, there's one thing that kind of bothers me. Nene, the author of the letter, is sitting in jail. Is that a correct statement?
Correct.
All right. I was always under the assumption that inmates' mail was read. You know,
probably
going
is,
out.
but this wasn't a Stooley type of letter that was saying, "Hey, cut me a break." This is basically, "Can you believe this crap that they questioned me about?" And to be quite honest with you, I'm surprised it did get out, but it did. And one of the law enforcement officers says it's a letter from jail. It is what it is. And they were trying to play it down a little bit until they realized that, hey, folks are putting two and two together here. And they didn't think for one second that Spells would be a guy who would, you know, take this and show it to other people, especially those who had the equipment to pass it along to people like William Cobra Stobbs and myself.
Right. I mean, pretty strange series of events.
That letter has had so many hands passed on it, but I will tell you that I can vouch for every set of hands. I can vouch for every set of hands that put it on there. So, yeah, that's it.
Mm. So I'm assuming that White Boy is not feeling all that cocky right at the moment.
You know, he's not. And you know what? He's frightened to death. He is absolutely scared to death. Here's a guy who wound up getting into a relationship with a girl who his mom introduced him to, or somebody's mom, I'm sorry, I misspoke. He didn't know that she was involved with, you know, to the degree she was involved with Ronald. At first, he found out, and then he's like, hey, well, you know, kind of stuck here, stuck there. He hadn't had anything to do with her, he claims, since that weekend. Of sex and drugs. And he made mention to First Coast News last night on television. A little too tired for me, but he talked to them. He said, look, he said, you know, that's just something I wish I never, ever had gotten into. You know, and I believe that. Whether or not he had anything to do with this child's death or not, it's going to be for law enforcement to determine. But, I don't know. There's a whole lot of fishiness that goes along with this, but there's also a lot of paths that lead to it at the same time. If you know what I'm saying, there are like five or six different active theories out of 4,000, and two or three of them are starting to come together. But all I know is that law enforcement is putting pressure anywhere it can in order to get something to pop, in order to get somebody to talk. And believe me, people are talking.
Right. I would say that, you know, even though my article was written in humor.
The bus?
The bus. I mean, it must be getting pretty tight quarters under that bus.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Simon is a brilliant writer. He truly is, and he plays it off a little bit. But when he puts words down on paper, you need to understand them for what they are. Simon took a lot of facts, a lot of solid facts, and he made something rather humorous, but pointed and meaningful at the same time. And what we are talking about in his article on bloggernews.net, I invite you to go there. The title is, How Many Croslins Can Fit Under a Bus? And Simon, take it from there, because that article was just absolutely a terrific read, for the simple fact that the Croslin family just seems to have this knack for pointing fingers and throwing people under the bus, starting with Cousin Joe from the very beginning for Tennessee.
Oh, but I mean, not only do they throw each other under the bus, they throw themselves under the bus.
Unwittingly.
Yeah, I mean, they just seem to have a natural ability. Talking about Croslin.
You're being shy here because your article is brilliant.
Well, it's easy to find if you go to Google News and do a
it's
search
there.
On Haley Cummings bus. I'm sure you will find it.
What are you up to? About 500,000 reads on that now already?
Something
that's pretty popular.
Yeah, it was a pretty popular article. On the subject of Croslins, Misty took a trip out of town and
a bit of a sabbatical?
Pardon?
A bit of a sabbatical?
Yes, something like that. Or a sabbusical. there were conflicting stories. Certainly, Nancy Grace took it as, she had a big row with Ron and had skipped town. Other people said, no, this was a planned trip. She was going to Universal Studios just to get away for a couple of days. What was the real story?
The real story is somewhere in the middle. Were there high tensions at Annette Sykes' trailer where Ronald Cummings, the father of Haley Cummings, who's been missing since February, resides with his young bride, Misty? Yes. Why wouldn't there be? Hell, you got a search going on about a mile or so as the crow flies, yet it's a 35-minute drive because of the landforms and the availability of bridges, and a pond where somebody told you your daughter might be dredged up. You bet some anxieties were high. Were there telephone calls coming to the house asking a lot of stupid questions? Hell yeah. Did Timmy Croslin call and start chewing out Annette Sykes? Something I wouldn't do, and I used to be a professional athlete. But they got a complaint of harassing phone call. There, I'm sorry, but you know, you even talked to Teresa Neves, her daughter. You don't do that to Mrs. Sykes. She can take care of herself. Anyway, the thing is that even Mrs. Sykes got angry at law enforcement because she thought that she was being lied to by them, and at that point she was. She went out and raised all kinds of hell with police at that pond that was being drained. So were there some loud moments in that trailer over the weekend? Hell yeah, there were. Were those two fighting? I imagine there probably was some friction. There's some friction that happens in every relationship, especially when you add extra tensions on there. Was it all-out row? Was it a bitter fight? Was there a blowout? Were people throwing clothes out the window or out the door? I don't have any credible evidence to suggest that. I have seen reports stating just that, but I've not seen anything of that nature. Law enforcement tells me that they heard pretty much the same thing, that there was a possibility that Misty might be leaving this weekend, but it turned out that she didn't. But it also turned out that on on Monday, she took off for that trip to Orlando. Now, this has been announced by Misty's lawyer, Mark Fields, that yes, she did go to Orlando. Yes, she did visit Universal Studios. I've known about this since Monday or Tuesday, and it was Monday. I spoke with Teresa Neves. She said, she needs to get away, and also that Ron and Junior were going to go down today and stay with them and have a day just away from everything, away from all of the stuff, especially with the stress of the pond. And, well, the media found out about it. And, of course, the inquiry eyes had to know. Well, I made my promise. I said that I wasn't going to say where until Thursday, and I did. And I kept my promise. But I also found out, by keeping that promise, how the trip was paid for. And that trip was paid for, in part, at least the Universal tickets, by Mr. Jeff Hankin, I believe his name is, and that is the boyfriend of Teresa Neves from Fruitland Park, which is right there in the Marion-Putnam border there, that area. And he took care of the tickets. You know, but Mrs. Neves doesn't have any money. She's been going through some medical problems. She doesn't have any extra to spare. Ron and Misty certainly don't have that kind of disposable income to do that. And
I think it's all tied up in bonds, isn't it?
It's all tied up in something, that's for sure. But they didn't have any kind of disposable income. So he took care of the tickets according to Mrs. Neves. So that's how that all took place. So, and I will tell you right now, I made a promise to her. And when I make a promise to my sources, I keep those promises. This is a very untrusting arena we're in these days. And if a guy's word doesn't mean anything, why give somebody your word?
I agree entirely. I mean, and you do have to protect your sources.
Well, certainly. And now that they're not going to have that day, and the reason we went on the protection mode was that you sure didn't want to have anything compromise somebody's safety at a situation, or maybe put others in a place where they wouldn't feel safe. Knowing that there might be paparazzi or there might be some folks who perhaps do not feel positive toward Misty or Ronald for some reason or another, raised in hell at a theme park.
I couldn't imagine.
You didn't want to put others who were there just minding their own business in any kind of jeopardy with some kind of a blow up or a scene that didn't have to be.
Right. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone, not believing in Misty's story.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. Simon, the people will, I've been in broadcasting long enough, and I tell you, I was a weatherman on TV. And I will tell you, I about got the biggest knuckle sandwich of my life in central Illinois when I was on the air on Friday night. And it was the dead of winter, and I said, partly cloudy skies tonight. Doesn't look like we're going to get any snow. It appears to be going well south of us. Well, I'm going to the gas station. There's some snow on the ground. In fact, there's quite a bit of snow on the ground. The front decided to move through our area after all. And I'm at the gas station. A fellow was in there buying cigarettes. He goes, "You're the weatherman." Yes, yeah. "I just got done scooping up 2 inches of that damn partly cloudy off my driveway. I'm going to kick your ass." And I'm going, "Okay. All right, fine." So, over the smallest things, people can be put in some kind of jeopardy when they have some kind of notoriety. And the thing is, Ron and Misty are public figures, so what happens to them happens to them. But what happens to other people who are just minding their own business, just happen to be around that area, they don't deserve that.
Right. And, going back to the bus analogy,
I love that bus. Was it a stub-nosed one or was it a full-size Bluebird?
Well, actually, the one I specced out was the 80-seater version. And I did actually find a a government site talking that talks about the specifications of school buses. No, so it was definitely a school bus that I used. Okay, let's move on to hotter news, as if what we've been talking about isn't hot enough. Tommy Croslin bonded out at 2 minutes after noon today. What do you know about that?
Simon, that one was pretty hot. He bonded out. I am told by law enforcement officials that they don't know who bonded him out at this point. That's been revealed. But the significant thing is that his bond had been reduced to $5,000. Now, when you have a $50,000 bond, you get 10%. But I don't think it was 10%. I think it was $5,000, meaning the 10% would be $500, something a little bit more attainable. Maybe that bond was reduced as a thank you for telling everybody in the world that your sister wasn't home after you had been questioned by police staying in jail on that theft of a gun charge. And that's where that information came out. That was a blockbuster this week, too, is that after he'd been questioned by police, he said, look, I got a phone call from Ronald at about 10-ish, right, somewhere around the 9:30, 10 o'clock hour. And he wanted to know if Misty and the kids were at home, and he said, well, I'll go down and check. So he goes down and check, and he says it's in the 10 o'clock hour. Mind you, Misty said she had just gone to bed at 10 o'clock after washing a blanket. Well, okay, she didn't have any soap. Plenty of dirty clothes all over the place, but no soap. And she was supposedly in bed. The kids were supposedly watching a movie until they fell asleep, which started at 8. He goes down there, and he sees not a light in the house, not a TV flickering, not a radio sounding, nothing, absolutely pitch black. He's like, oh, God. So he bangs on the door. Now, mind you, there's a little bit of a porch there, but it's one of these rattly mobile home trailer porches. It's not a solid porch. Dear God, I mean, this is a place where the floor creaks, for crying out loud, to any place you are in the trailer. And kabang, 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 kabang. Kabang, 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 kabang. Well, you'd think the kids would wake up. I mean, after all, Uncle Tommy is right there on the front porch beating on the door, and you're 10 feet away from the bedroom where they were all sleeping, supposedly. And Misty doesn't answer the door. Nobody answers the door. He waits around for a while. He's looking in the windows, and he realizes, hell, there ain't nobody home. So he returns. Now, the police have not told us what he did with his telephone call, whether he called Ron back to tell him that or not. Mm-hmm. And why they're withholding that, I don't know. Maybe it's another pressure move. But well, that's Tommy's story, and he's sticking to it. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, after every news source in America gets that story and things start popping and people start talking, the bond's reduced. We don't know why. And I'm not gonna put any kind of assumptions on there, but bond is reduced and he's out of jail as of 12:02 this afternoon.
Okay, what bothers me, though, is that why did it take 7 months for Tommy Croslin to come up with this nugget of gold?
Well, he and Ronald have been fighting off and on, and, let's put it this way. I think Ron could probably take you. So, I'm just saying. When he showed up at the Sykes house, he had to have Mom and Dad there for backup. So, fear? I mean, I'm in jail. Who's going to get me now? Okay, now you're out of jail. Who's going to get you now?
I've seen pictures of Ron. He doesn't look particularly intimidating, but the way you're saying it, maybe he can pack a punch.
Yeah, he can scrap.
I'm still bothered that it took 7 months. I cannot believe that the law enforcement did not ask Tommy at some point, because they had all of the cell phone records, so they know damn well.
But Tommy wasn't on a cell phone. Tommy was on a landline.
Right. I'm sure they had. Well, let's put it this way.
Yeah, landline records. And I understand what you're saying, and I'm with you. I'm frustrated too. It gives one reason to pause, and I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this for fact, but here's what I would have done if I'd been law enforcement. Number one, I'd have looked at who Ronald called that night and where Ronald was. You can get that, you know, loosely from the cell tower information. And then I'd have gone, oh, you know what? He was at work. Why don't we go after PDL's records and see what calls came out of the plant that night and who they were to? And either way, right? But there's going to be a call to Tommy Croslin. You know, and you know, my next thought is going to be, well, let's go ask Tommy about this phone call.
Well, that would be logic.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a great deal of it hanging around, though.
Well, the other things that they're trying to figure out, too, is, you know, Misty had the phone off that night, or she wasn't answering, okay? They've been trying to work something out with GPS and call triangulation. Now, this is a little bit beyond my pay grade here, boys and girls and moms and dads at home and all ships at sea. But I understand that from Mike with the FBI that this is something that can be done. However, you have to have the right phones, the right equipment, and the right place.
Oh, most definitely. But it is technically possible to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about another Croslin that appears to be in that rather tight-fitting space under the school bus. Lisa,
yes.
What's the story there?
As first reported by News Talk 97.3 The Sky and later shared with Blogger News Network, a nationwide pickup warrant is now out for Haley's step-grandmother. And that step-grandmother, as you all know, is Lisa Croslin, Misty Croslin Cummings' mother, and also the mother of Tommy Croslin, who we just spoke of, just was bonded out of jail. Now, this is she's wanted on account of forgery. The bond, I have been told by Putnam County authorities, is now $10,504. That is pretty darn good for forgery. This is a nationwide pickup. If she doesn't bond in Tennessee, then she will be extradited to Putnam County. Now, recently, Lisa Croslin had told several radio, TV, and that she doubted her daughter, Misty Croslin Cummings, was home when her six-year-old daughter vanished from the trailer Misty shared with the child's father, Ronald Cummings. In fact, Lisa Croslin reportedly backed up that claim by her son, who just bonded out, that she was not home at the time. But she said, honey, I'm there for you. And then no sooner than she said that to the camera, bye-bye, she had jumped up to Tennessee with her husband to live in her mother's house in Tennessee just outside of Nashville.
So it doesn't sound like it was a long-term planned kind of event. It was more, oh, goodness, it's time to get out of Dodge.
Well, you know, Tommy and his wife, Lindsay, were planning on moving up to Massachusetts with Timmy Croslin and his wife, Chelsea, because of prospects for better economic opportunities, let's just say. And the unemployment rate in Florida is like 12, and I'm losing you on the cell phone here. But that long, and they went.
TJ, you're kind of breaking up. Whoops, we've just lost TJ completely. I'm sure he'll be with us again directly. For those of you that missed the very beginning of the show, I should probably explain what's going on as we speak. TJ is actually calling us from the back of Nancy Grace's limo. He's en route to Jacksonville to tape tonight's show. So I'm pretty certain that CNN, or sorry, rather HLN's Nancy Grace show tonight will be an interesting one. And I'm also pretty certain that a lot of what we've been talking about here today is going to be on the list of items. It's been a really, really busy week, and the Mondex Pond event really was the starting point. It's unclear at this stage whether it was Nene's handwritten letter that created the reason for them to drain it, or whether indeed it did come from out of state. But certainly the two items do link together very, very well. And there's still no sign of TJ. So I'll tell you what we're going to do while I wait for TJ to dial back in. I'm going to play a really beautiful piece of music. I'll give a prize to the person that can tell me the title. Thank you. Okay. There's still no sign of TJ. I think he must be in a really dead air zone on route to Jacksonville. For those of you, and I saw a couple of people in the chat room asking what that song was. It's actually a 17th century British hymn. It's called All Things Bright and Beautiful. And I think it's a very appropriate piece of music to play when talking about Hayley Cummings. The musician that plays it is one of the most gifted keyboardists I have ever had the pleasure to listen to and talk to. I won't tell you his name, but I will say this. He is a very well-known rock musician, and for any of you music aficionados, one of the instruments that he played in the 1970s was the modular Moog. So that'll give you something to research. I guess with no TJ, I am probably going to wrap this show up. But I do encourage everyone to watch Headline News tonight. TJ will be on there, and you can rest assured that everything that we've discussed on air today will be aired again on Nancy. I want to thank everyone that listened in, and I do apologize that we have these technical problems, but this is life in the technical world. This is Simon Barrett for bloggernews.net, wishing everyone a happy Thursday, or if it's Thursday, and we will talk to you all again soon. Goodbye.